From automated assembly lines to smart factories, manufacturing is going digital and fast. If you want to stay relevant, you need the right tech skills. CBT Nuggets helps you get there with practical, easy-to-follow IT training. Build in-demand skills in networking, cybersecurity, and system automation without investing in costly hardware or struggling with complicated setups. Our short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs make learning simple and effective. Whether you're a technician on the floor, a manager leading teams, or an engineer optimizing systems, CBT Nuggets fits your schedule and meets you where you are. Train at your own pace, from any device, wherever it works for you. And with new content added regularly, there's always something relevant to learn. Join thousands of professionals who are leveling up their careers with CBT Nuggets. Right now, you can start a 7-day free trial and explore everything we offer, no commitment required. Go to cbtnuggets.com today, because in modern manufacturing, better tech skills mean better opportunities.
I'm John Batchel with my colleague Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Lebanon, Hezbollah, still large-scale operation, but what is to be done? The Lebanon government has been untrustworthy. Lebanese armed forces have been untrustworthy. We have an airport where there's routine reporting of smuggling. The Iranians have not given up rearming or reinvigorating Hezbollah. And yet, Jonathan, you tell me there's something positive out of Lebanon. What is that?
There is. There's an interesting story that's emerged today. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who's not exactly known for being an effective leader in the West Bank, but he is on his way to Lebanon, and he is going to be meeting with the Lebanese government to talk about possibly disarming the refugee camps in Lebanon. These are camps where hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of Palestinians have been living. They have been stripped of their rights. They're not able to work on a number of different positions in Lebanon. They're not granted citizenship. I think those things are not likely to change, but we are now hearing that the PLO and the Lebanese armed forces and the Lebanese government are in discussions about disarming these camps. These camps have been armed to the teeth. We're talking about, rocket-propelled grenades and mortars and AK-47s and other weaponry that should not be in these camps. There's no reason for them to have these weapons. In some cases, the factions have fought each other inside the camps. There's acts of violence that have been reported, groups affiliated with Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah-affiliated groups, Iran-backed groups, PFLP, right? A virtual alphabet soup of terrorist organizations. This is a very positive thing if the Lebanese armed forces begin to disarm them there. This will, I think, remove a significant amount of weaponry out of Lebanon, perhaps rob Hezbollah of some of their allies in the country. And so I think this is a very positive step. I'd like to see them start to remove the refugee status of some of these individuals. I'd like to see them gain Lebanese citizenship. I'd like to see them be able to get jobs as well. But we'll take it one step at a time here right now. I think that would be a very positive thing indeed.
Syria, since last we talked, we've had a photograph that puzzles everyone. It's a picture of a smiling Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, in his robes. And he's looking at the president of the United States, shaking hands with a man who is a known mass murderer named Shara. The known mass murderer in a blue suit represents a gang of mass murderers. I can't make sense of this, Jonathan. Where is this going?
Well, I think a lot of people were very confused. We have the president of the United States shaking hands with someone who's a specially designated global terrorist. In other words, this person is actually sanctioned by the United States, and there is a bounty of $5 million on his head. And the commander in chief of the United States Armed Forces is meeting with him and shaking his hand. And afterwards on Air Force One, talked about how tough he was and how strong he was, and was speaking about him with some admiration. I am not in favor of sanctions relief at this moment. I think it's early, it's premature. We have yet to learn what Ahmad al-Shara, or as he was known before, Abu Muhammad al-Jalani, we have yet to understand what his intentions are in the region. He could try to pocket this sanctions relief and then put money aside for the sponsorship of terror or the acquisition of new weapons. But there is a very important thing that may have occurred as a result of the president's announcement at that meeting in Saudi Arabia. Up until recently, John, we were very afraid that HTS, the new government in Syria, that they were going to be clients of the Turks. And the Turks, of course, are sponsors of Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Hamas, and they've laundered money for the Iranians. I was getting very nervous that the Turks were surging in power and an influence around the region. If I'm reading things correctly, because the sanctions relief was granted in Saudi Arabia with Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, looking on, we may be able to interpret this event as the Saudis having taken the new Syrian regime out of the arms of the Turks and it looks as if they have brought them into the camp of pragmatic Arab states. This would be a positive thing. Now, it is still premature to declare that this is positive, but I would say there are potentially positive signs here, and we're going to continue to watch.
I'm watching what Damascus does, not what it says. It attacked the Druze, it attacked the Alawites. They're gunmen. And is there reason to believe that sanctions affect gunmen? Is there reason to believe that a handshake affects gunmen? I don't understand.
No, and I think that's the problem, is that we see Al-Qaeda fighters that have populated the ranks of the army. They have populated the ranks of the government. And these are foreign fighters. These aren't even all Syrians, right? So these are Chechens and Uzbeks and Palestinians and Iraqis. They've come from all over the world to fight that global jihad against the Bashar al-Assad regime, the now fallen Bashar al-Assad regime. I am concerned that this is still a very rotten government, but I think at least right now the process is underway. The good news, I think, right now, in addition to the Saudis possibly having that leverage, is that the Treasury Department, the bureaucracy in the U.S. government, will not allow for the complete lifting of those sanctions. It looks like they're going to give it 180 days, and they're going to assess whether that sanctions relief is still deserved after those 180 days. So there will be an opportunity to snap them back into place. That's also a good thing. But this was very premature, John, in my view. The president should not likely have done this. It was just not enough of a representative sample after 5 months of trying to figure out whether this is a regime we could work with, especially as we've seen attacks against minorities, the Alawites, the Druze, the Kurds. They are still under attack by elements of this regime. So we've got a lot of work to do to bring them on side, if they can even be brought on side at all.
Jonathan Schanzer helping me understand the impenetrable Middle East story. Jonathan Schanzer, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.